Hello and welcome to KTOO's very own Juno Afternoon. It's Thursday, July 7th. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show, and we've got lots to talk about today, so stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Three rifles removed from the site of the Wounded Knee Massacre in South Dakota have been sold at public auction for more than $100,000. As Jim Kent reports, the rifles and more than 80 other Native American cultural items obtained at the turn of the 20th century were also sold by the same owner.
Heritage Auctions website referred to all of the items sold as the Rathbun family collection. The rifles are designated as having been, quote, picked up on the battlefield. The background explanation states that Nellie Woodard, owner of a dry goods store in Chadron, and her son Raymond, quote, gathered three Indian rifles from the battlefield, which they took home to Chadron. The three guns became revered family relics, carefully preserved for future generations. Lakota elder Marcella LeBeau is former secretary of the Wounded Knee Survivors Association. Her first concern about the Wounded Knee rifles is how they were obtained.
That it is wrong to do that. I believe that they should be returned to where they came from, to the Lakota people who were killed, murdered, massacred at that time.
Marcella LeBeau adds that the impacts of the Wounded Knee Massacre are still felt by the Lakota people. LeBeau says she can't imagine how anyone could sell something taken from the massacre site. Calls to Heritage Auctions over a week's time to obtain a comment regarding the collection and contact information for consigner Paul Rathbun were not returned. I'm Jim Kent.
A U.S. Drought Mitigation Service map shows a large section of South Dakota, including reservation land, is dry and getting drier. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
A fairly long streak of dry weather is leading to deteriorating range and pasture conditions and poor crop production in western South Dakota. That's concerning farmers at ranchers on the Pine Ridge, Standing Rock, and Cheyenne River reservations. National Weather Service hydrologist Melissa Smith in Rapid City says drought issues are prevalent west of the Missouri River.
We are now seeing some areas of extreme D3 drought conditions that were introduced over the eastern foothills of the Black Hills, extending pretty much from about Spearfish to Rapid City following around the I-90 corridor.
The drought monitor is showing some worsening conditions in eastern South Dakota as well, with moderate drought covering part of the Sisseton, Wahpeton, Oyate in the northeast corner of the state. I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
The National Indian Youth Council is working to empower and inspire Native youth through its inaugural Native American Youth Conference being held this week in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Melissa Wasani leads the Youth Council.
I think that, you know, this really investing in our youth is so important, so when they become aged, you know, they're able to carry on, you know, some of the things that have been started by our ancestors, by our leaders.
The young people are examining a number of issues facing their communities, including homelessness. Don Begay, who works with homeless people in the Albuquerque area, asked the group to think critically about the issue.
I think there's a lot of stigmatism attached to homelessness, and what we're trying to do is educate that it's something more than just, you know, someone on the street. It actually can hit home to a lot of these people and start looking at what are the contributing factors. They have to start thinking about it, and once they understand what homelessness is, then we can start to think about how we're going to address it.
21-year-old Lauren Howland and 17-year-old Hope Posada came to the event with the Jicarilla Tribe's Workforce Development Program. They say one of the challenges they'd like to tackle is substance abuse.
It's real depressing. I think throughout all Native land, it's like that. Alcoholism is just impacting all of us.
A lot of kids my age and younger go through a lot of alcohol abuse. I want to try to prevent that.
The young people are focusing on topics such as financial literacy, voting, and healthy relationships today before heading back to their communities. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support provided by Never Alone, a video game based on Inupiat tales and made in partnership with the Alaska Native community. Never Alone is available now on the App Store and Google Play. More information at neveralonegame.com. And by Humboldt State University's online Master of Social Work program, which focuses on decolonizing work with rural and indigenous communities. Applications accepted August 1st to 31st at humboldt.edu/social work.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO from downtown Juno. It's a beautiful day. They call it mostly sunny, but I would call it radiant, with a high near 68. Tonight is going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 48, and tomorrow mostly sunny with a high near 75, and then tomorrow night mostly cloudy in the 50s, and then Saturday mostly cloudy with a high near 67. So we Junoites know this is fabulous weather. So here it is, 6 minutes past the hour. Jeff Brown's at the board. He's the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday talking head. And our first guest is Brianna Freeman. She is the director of sales of Alaska Travel Adventures. And it's summertime, which means tourism for Juneau. And there's stuff that locals could take advantage of as well. So welcome to the show, Brianna.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so let's first talk about Alaska Travel Adventures. Can you tell us a little bit about the company?
It's a company that's been in operation for almost 40 years, so we've been in the industry for a very long time. We have tours throughout Southeast Alaska, Ketchikan, Skagway, Sitka, and here in Juneau, so we have a lot to offer.
Okay, so when you're talking about Alaska Travel Adventures, it's mostly Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Okay, and then what kind of products, services, tours do you have?
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of products here in Juneau. We have a beautiful whale watching boat that you can take out. We also do the Gold Creek Salmon Bake, which is very popular amongst the locals I know. We do a rafting trip down the Mendenhall River. We have a canoe adventure that's going to take you across the Mendenhall Lake and over to Nugget Falls, a great adventure to get you up close to the face of the glacier, as close as we're allowed to, of course. And then we also have a kayaking trip that's off North Douglas, and we do a gold panning trip up in Last Chance Basin, so we have a lot of different choices.
Wow. So how many people do you employ in the summer?
We have about 200 employees here in the summer that we bring in from guiding and office work and a little bit of everything. So we have a lot of employees here in Juneau.
Okay. And do you hire local?
We do hire local. Yes, we do. Several of our dock reps are from here in Juneau, as well as our office staff, and we try to bring in as many guides as we can. So if you have anybody that's over 18 during the summer, please have them contact us, because we'd love to have them.
Oh, that sounds good. So this, all of these products, the Gold Creek Salmon Bake and the gold panning and the rafting and a canoe and a kayak adventure, how can locals take advantage of this, and is there a local rate? And what does that mean? Is that just for me when I show my Juneau ID, or does it mean my family and friends that are, we all have visitors in the summer because we live in a fantastic place. That's what happens.
Yes, of course. We offer local specials for anybody. We'll extend it to your family and friends because, you know, you're bringing them to us, so we're happy to extend that discount to them as well. If you do have anything that you're interested in doing, we recommend that you call our office. We can tell you what the availability is for the next couple of days and what times we've got going, and then we can get you that local discount. The easiest way to call us, you can also go online and check out descriptions of our tours, but just giving us a call here in the local office is the easiest thing to do.
And what's that local number?
That number is 789-0052.
Okay, and that's for Alaska Travel Adventures. So you talked about the popular Gold Creek Salmon Bake. You want to talk a little bit about that? You said that's popular with the locals. What exactly is it?
It is. It is an all-you-can-eat salmon bake feast. So we have a alderwood smoked salmon, or grilled salmon, rather. And then we have a lot of different side dishes, from potatoes that I can make a whole meal out of the potatoes alone. It's a great baked beans, coleslaw, all sorts of good stuff. We also have a local musician that's on hand for every meal service. Mm-hmm. We have a bar on site. We have marshmallow roasting fire pits. We have a little trail that'll take you out to a waterfall, which when the salmon are spawning, it's a great way to see the salmon spawning as well. We have a totem pole carver on site and all of that good stuff. We do have a local special pretty much every Friday night because it's a little bit slow here in Juneau, and that is $29 per person. So that's a very good discount off of the local or off of the retail rate, rather. If you want to go any other night besides Fridays, we do have a local rate as well for you.
Okay. And is that $29 for your Friday night special? Is there a kid rate or is it $29?
It's pretty much just $29 because that's substantially off of our regular rate. So $29 per person. You can show up anytime between 5 and 7. You can check our Facebook page as well because they have all their local specials, because sometimes if it is a slow day in port, we'll do offer local specials up to 50% off on our other tours as well. So keep an eye on that Facebook page. That's the best way to get that information.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, and then back to the salmon bake.
Yeah.
So salmon running, marshmallows, you have bears there?
We do have bears there.
I remember sometimes, seeing a bear there.
Sometimes more than one.
Uh-huh. So that's always an extra added.
It is. It is. Yes. Of course, they cannot be guaranteed. We don't promise anybody, but especially when the salmon are running, it's a good opportunity to see them. They love the marshmallows. They don't bother the salmon on the grill, but they love the marshmallows.
Okay, there's a story there. I'm not sure about that. So are the salmon running right now?
They're not yet.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, great. All right, and then let's talk about this canoe adventure. You know, we hear a lot about kayaking, but we don't hear that much about canoeing. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, it is a large native-style canoe, so it's 20 people per canoe. So it is a very large canoe that takes lots of power to paddle, but you get as close to the glacier as we possibly can. So I believe that's about 100 yards we're allowed to get away from the face of the glacier. So you go past the icebergs that are there. So it's a really great kind of unique perspective to get a little exercise in, get out on the water. We do a stop on Nugget Falls. We'll either have a snack, have a chance to take some pictures before paddling back. So it is one of our more popular options to be able to, especially when you have visitors, to be able to get as close to the glacier as possible.
Absolutely. And what's this sea kayaking adventure out of North Douglas?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be probably more for anybody that's interested in getting out and seeing the wildlife. We've seen porpoises and whales and sea lions, all sorts of good stuff out there. It's going to take you into the Mendenhall Wetlands. It is all double kayak, so do keep that in mind, but no experience is necessary. Our guides are very experienced and will teach from beginners all the way up to expert kayakers. So, again, a lot of fun just to get out, spend a day on the water, especially a beautiful day like today. Why not take advantage of it?
That sounds great. How long is that tour?
It's 3.5 hours altogether.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we've been chatting, Jeff and I, with Brianna Freeman, who is the Director of Sales of Alaska Travel Adventures. You heard it here. If you have visitors next year that are 18 plus are going to house with you, like we've had at my house, they could get a job.
Yes, they can, please.
That's right. All right, and also there's all these local rates, and the best way to keep informed is through Alaska Travel Adventures Facebook page, where if there's not that many ships and the tours are not packed, they might offer some great deal for that day.
Yes.
So, Brianna, thanks for coming in, and feel free to come back anytime. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk to Brian Holst, who is here representing the Juneau Economic Development Council. He's the executive director there.
Let's get away. Let's take a boat to Bermuda. Let's take a plane to St. Paul. Let's grab a kayak to Quincy or Nyack. Let's get away from it all. Let's take a trip in a trailer. No need to come back at all. Let's take a powder to Boston for chowder. Let's get away from it all. We'll travel around from town to town. We'll visit every state.
That's what we go.
And I'll repeat, I love you, sweet, in all the 48. Let's go again to Niagara. This time we'll look at the falls. Let's leave our hut, dear, get out of our rut, dear. Let's get away from it all. Beep, beep, bop, bop, beep, bubble, yubble, weed out. Da, da, beep, da, beep, da, 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 da.
Hey, Al.
Yeah?
I like your shoes. Sean, you like your shoes?
Nice.
What do you call those?
That's what
well, these are my traveling shoes.
Travel round from town to town. We'll visit every state.
Yep, we'll do them all.
Alaska and Hawaii too. Then all the 48. Come on, baby, let's go again to Niagara. This time we'll look at the falls. Let's leave our hut, dear. Get out of our rut, dear.
Let's get away.
Let's get away from it all. Let's get away.
Hello, you're listening to Juno Afternoon. It's 15 minutes past the hour. Right now it is 68 degrees in downtown Juno. It's a beautiful day. Brian Hulse is in the studio with Jeff and I. He is the executive director of the Juno Economic Development Council. And hi, Brian.
Good afternoon. What a great day.
It is an amazing day. Good day to walk here. Your office is pretty close.
Absolutely.
So, you know, people hear JEDC, Juno Economic Development Council, and I think everyone kind of forms their own opinion about what that organization does. Can you tell us exactly what your organization does? It's a nonprofit, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're almost celebrating 30 years. That'll be next year.
Congratulations.
We were formed by the Juno Assembly and the Chamber of Commerce back in a really difficult economic time back in the 80s. And we're an independent nonprofit, but the city of Juno has always given us a grant every year, and then the rest of our resources are given by private sector, and then we get contracts or grants from federal, state agencies, less state money, no state money at this point, given the budget woes of our state. And we focus on a few things. We have a board of directors that's appointed by the assembly. I think that's important.
Okay.
So while we're independent, the connection that we have to the city is that the assembly picks the board.
Okay, and how big is the board?
The board is 11 members.
Okay, and who's your president, your board president at the moment?
Lauren McVeigh.
Okay.
She's the CEO of True North Credit Union.
Okay, great.
And the mayor has a permanent seat on our board.
Okay.
And the chancellor has a permanent seat on our board. And there are 9 other members from the community.
Right, the chancellor of UAS.
Chancellor of UAS, right?
Okay.
We have a labor seat, we have an environmental seat, and then a mix of others.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. So that is the body that governs the organization,
right,
and the organization is tasked to do?
We do 5 things at JEDC. The first is we try to make Juno a great capital city, right? And that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, we focus on growing those key industries in our region. Those key industries that bring in most of the money from outside, and that's how you grow your economy. Is there's great what you do within your community for a great quality of living, but if you want to grow the economy, you got to bring in visitors from outside. You got to take that ore out of the ground and sell it and bring in the money. That's what drives our economy. So that's a really important part of our work.
Okay, before you go on, I know our number two, but I want to ask. So, growing the key industries. What are the key industries?
So when we look at Juno, we can see, where we have concentrated employment. So we're talking about the seafood industry,
mm-hmm,
fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people forget that Juno really is a big fishing town. In fact, I like to remind people that it would be our single largest private employer if we combine all of our fishing jobs, all of our fishermen. There's just that many of them.
Interesting.
Mining is also,
mm-hmm,
an important driver with,
mm-hmm,
really well-paying jobs and a large number of them.
Okay,
about
before
700.
Before we 700. But before we even leave mining, how many active mines are happening right now, and what are they pulling?
We have our two, mm-hmm, large operating mines. In fact, the two mines in Juneau represent a big chunk of mining in Alaska. There are only 6 large operating mines, and there's lots of other smaller ones. And we call our mines large. I mean, world scale, they may not be the largest, but they are significant mines for the state of Alaska. So it's Kensington, of,
mm-hmm,
course, and Hecla, Greens Creek. One focuses on gold, and the other focuses on silver.
Great.
Yeah, great and great, great operators. Both have great environmental track records. Greens Creek is on a national monument in managing to do excellent work in maintaining, getting all those materials out of the ground that we need, yet having an incredible track record with environmental stewardship. So we should be proud of of both of our mines.
Okay, so here we are. We're talking about our key industries. We're talking about seafood, fisheries, mining.
The visitor industry, which is really obvious here in the summer. You know, they also have a lot of jobs. Now, many of those jobs in our visitor products industry have lots of jobs in the summer. Not all of them last year-round. But they're an incredible boost to our economy. They represent about 20% of our sales tax. So it's really important to Juneau. And our incredible infrastructure, which we develop because we're serving the tourists, but that we also can benefit from, you know, at our waterfront, which makes Juneau just a really great, great place to be.
Right. And do you have a projected number for this year?
Yeah, we're going to be over 1 million just in cruise ship passengers, which is exciting. And then we have our independent travelers. And with the competition with Delta here, what we've seen is both Alaska Airlines and, of course, Delta is increasing their numbers. So we're getting more travelers coming via airplane along with cruise ships. And then, of course, we have people coming on ferries as well. So tourism is up, and it's a strong point here in our economy. And otherwise, you know, with state not doing so well, right? And I think those are the private sector pieces that are important. Our research community, which is largely federal, university, that is a significant employment in Juneau as well, is also important. We have when we think about Juneau's economy, we have to remember about 40% of our employment is government. And so what we've seen over the last few decades is that has really shifted from being primarily government jobs to primarily, we're mostly private jobs. But it is still really important. And we're just seeing the beginning of the loss in state jobs, which is concerning us all here in Juneau. We're going to have a disproportionate impact if the legislature and the governor can't agree on a way to keep our economy stable.
Right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Brian Hulse talk to us about the Juneau Economic Development Council. We're talking about what they're tasked with. And so far, what we've got is 2 points. We're growing the key industries that are here, which we just identified, which Brian just identified, creating and sustaining a great capital city.
Right.
And then you said there were three more. There's
sure.
5 points because they have five things to do, not one.
Developing talent.
Okay.
Right? And that's really, we do that in a couple ways, but the most visible is we run a K-12 science, technology, engineering, and math program. And we run that throughout the state of Alaska, which allows us to have a disproportionate benefit here in Juneau. And we do that primarily through the FIRST Robotics program, which many people have had a chance to participate. I know our kids have had a chance to participate in that program as well. And then there is the fourth area is we promote entrepreneurship and small business development. We have a loan program. We're always on the lookout for investing in Juneau businesses. Banks, you go to the bank and you can get a great loan. Banks are great to work with. Sometimes you just don't have what they're looking for, and that's where we come in. You know, we need you to pay us back. But sometimes maybe you don't have the a long credit history or some other reason that makes the banks hesitant, and then we will consider you as well.
Okay. That's great. That's interesting. So if you're listening and you think you have a great idea and you're thinking about starting a small business, there's lots of new
starting
businesses.
One or
starting
expanding and, one.
Right. Yeah. And you should give JEDC a buzz.
Yep.
And what is the fifth?
And that's our economic development service, we call. But it's mostly research. So we produce an annual research report, and we're constantly sending out updates. We're doing research. We do research that we commission ourselves, but sometimes groups come to us and say, you know, there's a particular issue that is of interest to us, and we'll research that for them.
Right. Wow. So that's a lot. And how many people do you employ?
We have 6 people at JEDC, and then we have so almost
wearing many different hats.
We do. But then
doing
we also
great
have
work.
Yeah, great partnerships. And then we also have the opportunity to do short-term contracts, and that's kind of how we make all the ends meet.
Right. Between grants, contracts, and so on.
Yeah, it's a small core team, but it's really more than 6 people that get all the work done.
Oh, obviously. You have an agile base, and then you get what you need for each particular project, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So we have about 5 more minutes. What is on the plate right now? I know you're doing your robotics camps right now. I think Becca Braun, who runs that program, was here yesterday.
Becca Sosa.
Becca Braun is the person as well. That's true. Becca Sosa, different Becca. My apologies, Becca Sosa. You could check that out at the JEDC site, see if there's any spots left for the robotics camps. But what else is on the horizon right here for the summer months?
Well, we talked about the supporting key industry groups. And so within the industry groups that we're working on is one is the renewable energy. And that's our one group that isn't really a largely established group, besides the fact that we do have large hydro. But that group has been working on, you know, how do we bring renewable energy to fuel our economy? And so that group has been had an initiative that they've been working on for several years around a district heating initiative, which looked at this area where we're sitting in, sort of the Willoughby District and the, you know, downtown area. You know, would that be a viable option? And that group spent some time on it, invited up some from Burlington, Vermont. The city manager came up, and they have a system down there that works well in Vermont for them as a capital city. People from Minnesota that have run these as well. Just with this working group of people interested. And it kind of went a little bit latent because, you know, we just weren't able to really get it going. But fortunately, Juno Hydropower saw that idea, and they took that idea and put a little spin on it. What they were able to do is identify a very interesting source, which is going to be seawater heat pumps. So it was exciting that I got to be invited, paid for by the government of Denmark, with about 10 other Junoites. We traveled to Denmark and Norway about a month ago to look at district heating projects in that part of the world to see as Juno Hydropower, which is a private, we have nothing, no say into how they run their business, as they explore this option for Juno. Now, what district heating is, if people aren't clear, is that instead of every single building having their own heat source, you know, your boiler room, you have one heat source, and then you have hot water pipes that run from building to building to building. And it is more efficient, right? Collectively, you spend much less energy, you spend less money. Of course, the big obstacle is putting in the network.
Infrastructure.
Right. And that's going to be Juno Hydropower's challenge, of course, is to, you know, to get the resources and get enough people to want to connect to the system. But if they get that, they're going to do something very innovative, which is take heat from the water in our channel and heat buildings and homes.
That's fascinating. That is so exciting. That is so fascinating. Yeah. Congratulations for being involved with that. That's just so amazing.
And if people want to learn more, they're going to give us a presentation at the next meeting of the Renewable Energy Working Group. And that's next Thursday, July 14th at 3 p.m. at JEDC. So the first hour we're going to focus on, so report out from the trip that was taken to Denmark and Norway. Paul Volkers and others are going to Jim Rehfeld, who went as well, they're going to give that report to the group. And then at 4 o'clock, the group has been focused on electric vehicles in Juneau, right? And you see the electric vehicle charging stations. That group is responsible for getting those out and about in our community. And so ALMP is looking at a new rate schedule to encourage more people to sign up for electric vehicles. So they're going to present that at 4 o'clock on that same day. So if you're interested in this topic, JEDC, 3 o'clock.
And where
July 14th.
Is JEDC?
We are right across the street from the IGA next to the bowling alley, Juno's only bowling alley.
Great.
And, yeah, come on over.
Sounds great. Yeah. Well, Brian, we're out of time, but it has been really fascinating. Feel free to come back anytime because I think since you have your organization is tasked with 5 different things, I think there's always something to talk about. But that is really exciting, talking about renewable energy through seawater.
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating. So
well,
thanks for dropping
time.
By. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk with representatives from the Rasmussen Foundation who are in town today. So we'll be right back.
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 7th of July, 2016. It was on this date in 1865 Mary Surratt was hanged at the gallows in Washington for having knowledge of the plot to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. She ran a boarding house in Washington, D.C. She was a Confederate sympathizer. Her son John was a co-conspirator, along with John Wilkes Booth and the others. But everyone, including the executioner, expected that President Andrew Johnson would pardon her. But he refused to. He said she kept the nest that hatched the egg. It was at her boarding house that Booth and the others had plotted the assassination. It's the birthday of the genetics pioneer Nettie Stevens, born Cavendish, Vermont, 1861. She got her Ph.D. in biology, and she studied mealworms and discovered that the male sex cells could have either an X or a Y chromosome, while the female could only carry X chromosomes. And based on this observation, she concluded that the sex of an organism was determined based on what chromosome it had inherited from its male parent. It's the birthday of the historian David McCullough, born in Pittsburgh, 1933. He went off to Yale, went to work for Sports Illustrated and then American Heritage magazine, wrote his first big biography, Truman, 1993, and then John Adams in 2001. David McCullough, who for many years worked in a small shed in the backyard of his home on Martha's Vineyard, he said nothing good was ever written in a large room. He said about writing biographies, I don't think you have to love your subject. Initially you shouldn't, but it's like picking a roommate. After all, you're going to be with that person every day, maybe for years, and why subject yourself to someone you have no respect for or outright don't like? And for that reason, McCullough quit a project to write a biography of Pablo Picasso, simply because, he said, he was an awful man. And it's the birthday of Gustav Mahler, the composer, born in Bohemia, what is now the Czech Republic, in 1860. He was a conductor at the Vienna Court Opera. He was a famous conductor throughout Europe, famous for his tragic symphony in 1906, ending with three climactic hammer blows, which Mahler later believed was a premonition of the tragedies his next year, when he was fired by the opera, his three-year-old daughter Maria died, and he was diagnosed with a fatal heart disease. Here's a poem for today by Lewis Jenkins entitled July. Temperature in the upper 70s, bit of a breeze, great cumulus clouds pass slowly through the summer sky like parade floats, and the slender grasses gather round you, pressing forward with exaggerated deference, whispering, eager to catch a glimpse. It's your party, after all, and it couldn't be more perfect. Yet there's a nagging thought, you don't really deserve all this attention, and that come October, there will be a price to pay. A poem by Lewis Jenkins, July, used by permission of the poet here on The Writer's Almanac. Supported by Lumosity, brain training with over 50 challenging games from scientists working with university researchers to push cognitive research forward. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices. Subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Do you or someone you care for live with chronic pain or chronic disease like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease? You can learn to manage the symptoms, understand the disease, and communicate more easily with providers. Find a list of Living Well classes offered around the state at livingwell.alaska.gov. This message sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the American Diabetes Association, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It is 25 minutes to the hour. It's July 8th. It's a beautiful day here in Juno, Alaska. So, actually, it's July 7th. It's still Thursday, July 7th, not July 8th. So, if you live in Juneau, you know that the Alaska State Museum recently opened after a two-year renovation. I hear it's a fabulous new building. And our next guests are Jackie Manning, who's the curator of exhibits, and Sven Hawkinson, who's the curator of North American Anthropology at the University of Washington, who is the curator of the first exhibit, which is called Loving Alaska, A Decade of Collecting Contemporary Art for Alaska Museums. And this is in partnership with the Anchorage Museum and the Rasmussen Foundation. And they're here to talk about the reception in the show. The reception's tonight from 5 to 7, and that's July 7th, and also to talk about the show. So we have two curators in the house. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So let's talk first about the building, okay, the name of the building, and just a little bit about the process and what people can expect.
Well, the new museum is inside the Father Andrew P. Kashvirov building, which also houses the Alaska Historical Library and the Alaska State Archives. And the museum is on the ground floor. It's about 2.5 times larger than the old museum. So if you went to the old museum, we have we have quite a bit more out. We have a lot of the objects that were out before, and an additional, I think, 30% with some larger objects. So we have a locomotive, a Bristol Bay Double Ender. It's really it's great to have this larger space where we can get more of the collection out and have it available to be seen by the public. Also, we have one of the more popular rooms is a discovery room, which is a kids' room that includes a ship model of the Discovery that they can play on. So a great kids' room in there as well. And as far as, temporary galleries, we have three temporary galleries, and Living Alaska is one of the exhibits, the three temporary shows that we have up. And this exhibit will be up through September 5th, but we have the opening reception tonight. And we have folks here from Rasmussen and also Sven Hawkinson, the curator of this exhibit, here he's going to talk a little bit tonight as well as today about that exhibit and what's in that, what's in it, the artworks that are in there. So.
Yeah, and this is the first exhibit. This is the first.
It's one of three temporary exhibits, and this is in the new building.
That sounds great. So, Sven, let's talk about the exhibit. Let's talk about the process of it, what it is, and how it came about.
First I want to congratulate Alaska on building such an amazing building and a place that you can actually help celebrate the history of Alaska. So I'm hoping that all the folks here in Juneau will go and check out your museum and make sure to stop in and bring your friends there. It's beautiful. I just went in for the first time today. The exhibit I had the privilege to work on is called Living Alaska, and that was sponsored by the Rasmussen Foundation. And they, over the last, 14 years almost now, they've been helping through Museums Alaska sponsor museums to purchase art for their permanent collection. And talking with Diane Kaplan and Jason Smart, and over the years, they're like, well, they should be doing an exhibit. And so they contacted me before I left Alaska to work with them and work with the museums to put together a traveling exhibit that would go to six communities. So far, it's gone through Anchorage and Homer, and then here, it goes to Fairbanks, and then Kodiak, and then on Alaska. And that is to, one, highlight how amazing Alaskan artists are. And when you go to the exhibit, it's small. And the hardest thing for me and the hardest thing for this whole project was I had to narrow down from 1,100 pieces to 25 pieces to show and try to say, hey, come and check out what your museums have been collecting, but also come and check out how rich and diverse your state is, our state, in terms of artisans and what's happening across all of Alaska. And so the exhibit is, yes, it's for me, it's wonderful, but I wish there was more space to do it in. because then it just shows how amazing, you know, the different artists and, you know, what is happening and all the other fun things you see and can learn about that's going around on the state.
Wow, what a task. From over 1,000 items to go down to 25. And we're talking about contemporary art.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So what was the process like? I mean, how does one even tackle such a thing?
Well, it's a great question. How do you tackle that? Well, first, I wanted to try to figure out, okay, how do we celebrate both contemporary artists, indigenous artists, and the diversity of arts that are being created? And the exhibit itself tries to share that with celebration of Alaskan environment, Alaskan natives, and then contemporary artists. And those are the three categories we tried to break it down into. But when you go into the exhibit, they sort of all melt together because when you live in Alaska, you're inspired by the environment and you're inspired by your local indigenous communities, but also you also want to create your own art. So that made it really, really challenging. On the other side then was, okay, how do we get it so that we can share, for example, Alaskan Native art, but not Alaskan Native art from the past, but Alaskan Native art in the present. And so, you know, working and selecting through different pieces. We sent out an RFP to all the museums who had purchased pieces through the Rasmussen Foundation's support. And then they sent us images and pieces they wanted to travel for the next 2.5, 3 years. And then from there, we narrowed that down to the 25 pieces that you have on display.
And here it is, the opening.
And here it is, yes.
Well, it's been open, but the reception tonight.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yes, and at the reception, we'll have Diane Kaplan, the president of the Rasmussen Foundation, there saying a few words. And then I'm hoping that you guys will all come in and check it out.
That sounds wonderful. So if you're just joining us, that was Sven Hawkinson, Jr. He's originally from Kodiak. He's now living in Seattle working with the University of Washington as the curator of the North American Anthropology Museum at the Burke Museum.
Yeah.
Beautiful museum. And then Jackie Manning, who's our curator, our local, our statewide curator here for the new building. So it's tonight, 5 to 7, at the new Slam Building.
Slam Building.
Is that okay?
Yes, you can call it Slam. And it was named after Father Andrew P. Cachevera.
Right. And it's also being calling the APK Building.
APK?
APK Building. And it's a beautiful new museum right next to the KTOO studios.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having parties on Friday night outside. And I have been slammed with out-of-town guests, and I have not been inside, but I have heard such amazing things about the building, so tonight might be the night. So it's 5 to 7, and that is tonight, and this exhibit is going on through September 5th, and, of course, there's the permanent exhibits as well. So thank you so much for coming in tonight, today.
Thank you.
And is there anything?
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
No, I just wanted to say one more time, it is free entry again from 5 to 7.
So. Okay. And what are the hours of the new building?
Normally we are, through the summer, we're 9 to 5 daily, and then I believe in October we'll switch over to winter hours, but through the summer, 9 to 5 daily.
That sounds great. It must be so exciting for both of you to be in the new building and to have this exhibit. And are you traveling with it to the different communities?
Yes.
Are you? Oh, that is so exciting.
It is. It is. It's a fun project to be part of.
That's great. Well, thank you both so much for what you're doing for Alaska and for coming by today. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk with Nancy DeCharney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council.
This is Bird Note. An adult black-capped chickadee flies in toward its nest, carrying a beakful of fresh insects. Reaching a long-dead tree trunk, the bird disappears inside the nest cavity it's excavated with its mate and delivers the goods to the impatient chicks within. A moment later, out pops the adult, but once again, it's carrying something in its bill, what looks like a tiny white pouch. Still on the wing, the chickadee drops the object into the vegetation below. The outgoing payload was a fecal sac, a remarkable adaptation found in nesting songbirds. Nestlings, often within seconds of being fed by the adult, excrete waste in tidy little sacs with a gelatinous outer coating. the dutiful parent now switches tasks from meal delivery to waste management. By dropping the sack a safe distance from the nest, the birds tidy the nest while discarding clues a predator might use to detect vulnerable nestlings. The fecal sack. For anyone who's ever changed a diaper, it's a simple solution we can only marvel at. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation.
Support comes from the Alaska Robotics Gallery, offering art that features narwhals, squid, and flying whales, located at 220 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at alaskarobotics.com.
Hello, welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. It's Jeff Brown and myself, Joan Pardis, in the studio with Nancy DeCharney, who had to face the unbearable sunshine to come across the street. Yes, exactly. All the children in Juneau are whining at the same time. It's hot. It's hot. So, Nancy, yes. What's going on in the art scene in the capital city?
Well, it's a pretty good week. We got a few things going on. You were just talking to the museum folks, and if you have not been to the museum, now's your chance. It's free tonight. Yeah, I'm giving you the look. It's really a phenomenal, amazing
place. I've heard
place.
Nothing about that, and it sounds like a fascinating museum and a great opportunity to hear about it and have the people who made it happen talk about it.
So go there. Okay.
I'm the nice one
that
in
was
this group.
Go there. Okay, we got Downtown Family Night at the Juneau Public Library from 5:30 to 6:30. That's free. There's tango dancing at Suite 907 at 7, and West Coast swing dancing at the Imperial at 7:30, and karaoke at McGivney's at 9, or you have open mic with Terry Tibbett or Matt Barnes at the Alaskan at 9. So there's a few things you could be doing tonight. It's going to be a nice evening. Might as well get out. There's the organ concert up at the State Office Building at noon tomorrow. Our block party this week is probably going to be on the Pivot Plaza in front of the APK building or whatever they think they should be calling the slam these days. It's the Wooshchin Dancers, Native Dancers.
Oh,
you can, maybe give you a little lesson or two and talk to you about the whole thing. There'll probably be some mosquito market people. The food trucks will be open. Now that the Whittier Street is all paved, we can have an actual block party.
Sounds great. And what time does that start?
That starts at 5:30 and goes until 7. And, you know, it's just free fun for the whole family. Come on down. Enjoy that. I think the food trucks will charge you, though. But but anyway, it should be a lovely evening. And then the rest of the evening, there's quite a few things going on downtown. So you can just wander down. It's a nice Friday nights are a nice time for you to take over your own town and enjoy it. So come on down for that. On Saturday, it's the second Saturday market from 10 until 3 out at the airport shopping mall. The Juneau Douglas City Museum has their historical walking tours. They do those throughout the week on various days, and at 8 p.m. on Saturday night is the Playboy Spaceman album release party. That's going to be at the Rockwell Ballroom at 8 p.m. until 11 or so. I don't know what time. You can get tickets at playboyspaceman.com. So check that out. It should be exciting time. There's a ukulele jam over at T.K. McGuire's at 11 in the morning on Sunday. We do our public art walk. They start at 1 o'clock at the kiosk by the Visitor's Center or by the library.
Mm-hmm.
Starts at 1 o'clock. We do those Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You can get tickets. And if you can't do it at that time, you can always just come by and get the map and do it yourself. But it's amazing how much stuff we have in public art around here. So let's see. I don't think the volunteer marching band is performing on Sunday. I think they already did that. There's a monthly community hue song. There's international folk dancing at 6 at the Downtown Racquetball Club and karaoke out at 9:07 at 9 p.m. On Monday, there's a makerspace open shop. So an opportunity to, you know, use some power tools. Good idea. Everybody loves to use, you know, power tools. On Tuesday, we have the Juno Douglas City Museum's walking tours as well. There is, let's see, what else? An old-time music jam at the Alaskan Hotel on Wednesday, July 14th. I don't have the information about the luau. I saw a poster as I was coming up, but somehow the information did not make it onto our calendar, which brings up, if you would like to have your stuff on this calendar, you need to either email us at info@jahc.org or call or use the postering service or use the ticketing service. That gets everything on these calendars. But this calendar gets to be out here. So luau people, you better get that stuff in.
So rumor has it there's a luau Saturday night at Centennial Hall.
Centennial Hall, I think
yeah.
So. So yeah,
rumor has it, posters around town.
Yeah, so check it out. A couple of other little funny things that are going to start happening and popping up around town.
What little funny things are going to be popping around town?
We're going to see these little red boxes around, and you can buy these raffle tickets in them that support the arts community organizations in Southeast.
Oh wow!
So yeah, just one of the raffles will support the Arts Council. So
oh,
if you
cool.
run into a little red box, and you're at Tracy's Crab Shack or in Ketchikan someplace, you know, consider it.
Oh.
Help support the arts community in
excellent.
Southeast. Yeah,
excellent.
We're looking forward to that. We're getting our season all amped up and ready to go. We've we've got our tickets online. Actually, we're sort of quietly bringing them on. But Matas Yahoo tickets are on sale, and people are already starting to buy them. So you might want to get those. He's a beatboxer, reggae, Jewish reggae singer. What can I say? It's going to be very, very exciting.
Worth the price of admission right there.
Yes.
Nick, she's packing up. She's on her way. But before you do that, I want to talk to you about membership.
Yes.
The Arts and Humanities Council. So, you know, I was talking with Brian before, Brian Hulse of the
mm-hmm.
JEDC, and we kind of started with the basic of what is JEDC? Because
mm-hmm.
everyone has their own preconceived notion. So can
mm-hmm.
we, like, just revamp and dial it way back? And let me ask you the dumb question of what is the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, and what are you guys tasked to do, and how do you survive, and how important is membership?
Membership is very key, just like it is for KTOO. We are the official local arts agency of the city and borough of Juno, and a local arts agency is actually a movement that started in sort of the late 60s, with focus on supporting and encouraging arts and cultural activities in the community. So our board, we have a board of 15, has identified 6 primary goals. We do a lot with arts education. We do a lot with community development. We do quite a bit. Well, we have our concert series, which I think is what's probably most public and what people mostly know us about. We offer scholarships and grants to arts organizations, individuals, and students. We are building a building. I mean, we have, like I said, I think those are the 5 basic things that we're trying to do. But our focus is making sure that the community's arts and cultural activities are alive and vibrant and well. And from my perspective, it seems like it is in Juno. It's amazing what goes on in Juno.
Absolutely.
So we just try to support them. You know, the ticketing services that we do and the postering services, just all trying to help the other arts organizations.
Partnering with every art organization.
Yeah.
And what about membership? When can people become members? Is it on a calendar year? How does it work? Because I know that, you know, our season's kind of go with almost the school year, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, summer is a very active time. And
you can bring your money in at any time, and you get it's a membership for a calendar year. So if you became a member today for the very first time, you'd be a member all the way through until next year at this time. And your membership gives you a couple of kind of nice perks. You get 10% off when you shop in the lobby shop, and you get 10% off your tickets to the events. You get free choice of wearable art tickets when they go on sale, which will probably be in November. We're thinking about, like, after the 4th of July, I think if you're a member of the Arts Council, you can use the bathroom at the Jack.
That's going to be the new thing, members only.
Members only. Yes, because it was a pretty popular item. But anyway, membership in the arts, plus you just get the really nice feeling that you are doing something really nice in the community to support all the things that you're really enjoying and like to see. I mean, arts education is one of those things that we are really working hard on, making sure that all children in K get an equitable arts education in any school in the district. So that's, I think, pretty important. And you know, with our recent break-in and damage that happened, we're going to be sort of struggling a little bit there for a while because we rely on the sales of the things in the lobby shop to keep us going in the summertime, and a lot of those things are gone.
Can we talk about that if somebody's listening and they didn't know about the break-in? So,
well, do we have time to discuss?
Yeah, we have a few minutes. Yeah.
I was traveling and got a call from the custodial service on June 3rd. They opened up the door and realized something was terribly amiss. And basically, someone had crowbarred their way in through our doors, which are fairly elderly doors, and totally smashed all the cabinets and basically took most everything except books. They didn't take books, but they took all the jewelry and smashed all the cabinets and all the artwork, and there's some of the stuff that was irreplaceable, so we're a little despondent about that. If you go over there now, you would be probably not notice that anything happened. My staff, amazingly, it was a First Friday exhibit, and they were able to get the place clean and open for First Friday by that 4 o'clock p.m., and luckily the burglars did not get into the Sea Alaska youth exhibit that was in the gallery, although they attempted to. So
that was an astonishing exhibit. That was,
yes, yeah. And it would have been a real devastating blow even beyond. So things like that, I mean, that is, we support our artists use the lobby shop to make money, and so we are going to repay them. We're in the middle of figuring out what all got taken and figuring out what bills we will owe them to pay them back for the artwork that they had entrusted to us. But it's a type of thing that's going to be a problem. We're hoping to have an event on the 17th of Sunday where we can all sort of come together and get rid of that icky feeling.
Move on.
Yes.
Ceremony.
Yes.
Well, that is, I knew about this, but I thought maybe some of our listeners might be interested to hear it from you. So mm-hmm. That,
well,
we're of course very sorry.
Back.
And we're, yes,
and we're going to be fine.
And kudos to you and your staff for what you do, what you've done, and what you continue to do.
And I want to say thank you to the, there were like 99 people that I just sent thank you notes to who came in with money that day. So thank you to all those people.
Right. Well, thank you, Nancy, for braving the horrible elements today and being very sarcastic. It's a gorgeous day in Juneau. So you've been listening to Juneau Afternoon. Jeff Brown is at the board. He is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your host on Thursday. And we're looking at mostly sunny today and tomorrow, and then we get some clouds, but we're not looking at rain for maybe till Tuesday night. So everyone, go outside, have a great day. Go and check out the new Slam building and the reception tonight. Andy Klein will be sitting in my seat tomorrow. He's going to talk about that Saturday CD release party for Playboy Spaceman and get the details about Saturday's Rhythm of Polynesia Luau show, that and all the usual Juneau Afternoon goodies. Thanks for joining us.